we're always in the market looking for the right opportunity that makes sense.
Yeah.
Potentially partnering with some other folks too, to use their knowledge and our knowledge to continue to push the business forward. From a senior housing perspective, if we all do well, it helps the entire industry.
Welcome to season 7 of Bridge the Gap, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. Powered by sponsors AccuShield, Align, NICMAP Vision, ProCare HR, Sage, Hamilton Captel, ServiceMaster, The Bridge Group Construction, and Solenity, and produced by Solenity Marketing.
Welcome to Bridge the Gap Podcast, the senior living podcast with Josh and Lucas here in warm Miami, Florida at the ASHA member meeting. We got a great guest on, Brad Krause of Spectrum Retirement Communities out of Colorado. Welcome to the show.
Wow, thanks for having me.
We had one of your coworkers there, William, on the program back at the NIC conference last year. I had a great conversation about sales and marketing. I found that conversation to be very insightful. Spectrum Communities, I've had the opportunity to tour a couple of your properties in Texas and also in Kansas City, and they're beautiful communities and a great culture.
That, yeah.
And I'd love to personally learn more. I know that our audience would like to learn more. How did Spectrum form?
Sure. Yeah, it was founded in 2003. Full transparency, my father was one of the founders, with the idea being that there's very few owner-operator developers out there. And having all those parts in one place will allow us to, you know, drive the business and do the business better. A big thing at Spectrum and a big thing that we think about is, how can we do this better? Is there a better way to do it? And if we're doing well, okay, couldn't we even improve upon that? So the constant improvement mentality is something that we take very, very seriously. And by having all those three component parts, the owner-operator developer allows us to really push that forward.
So obviously there's a major constraint on development right now.
There is.
I think a bigger focus on more repositioning and some value add. I know that y'all put a lot of focus in maintaining your properties. You have
a
very unique internal system for that. Would you be willing to share some?
Sure. I mean, just having the development arm in place, we've utilized that to look at our properties and figure out how to reinvest and upkeep them or change them to meet the needs and demands of the current market. Not having to rely on an outside third party to do that allows us to move faster, procure the right materials, make the necessary changes. By having a development / capital improvement team in-house working very closely with our operations team, we make the improvements in the right places because we're so aligned, as opposed to having somebody from the outside who may not fully know how the building is used on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
For the listener out there that may not understand the types of communities you have, your footprint, your growth strategy, can you unpack some of that?
We own 36 communities, operate 42. Most of our markets, we have 3 or 4 plus communities, and it allows us to track great talent, kind of understand the needs of those residents in each one of those metro areas.
Sure. So types of care, the types of communities,
sure, yeah.
The spectrum, what do you do there?
Most of our communities are ILAL memory care. I'd say if I look at our portfolio, half of it's independent living. I'd say 35% AL and the remaining is memory care. We have a few AL memory cares, only one standalone memory care, but most of our properties are ILAL memory care.
Yeah. So forward looking, could you give us a little bit of insight? The industry's changed so much, obviously, since you guys got in the business many years ago. So many people talking about different product types. Active adult has been a popular thing. What are the ambitions, goals, kind of strategies forward looking on that development and management arm for you guys?
It's obviously to grow in the right way, right?
Right.
You don't want to grow too fast. You could get over your skis and not do it well. And so our mentality has been and has always been to step back and look at a 10,000 foot view and say, are we doing it better than we did yesterday? Certain size allows you to attract the right talent and have the right resources to be able to do it even better. But if you get too big, you may lose your way. And so very important for us that we constantly step back and say, how are we doing? Like, you know, give ourselves a scorecard. I think everybody's talking about, oh, wow, it's different. It's going to be different moving forward. Well, I mean, if you think about it, you look at it, the business has changed constantly since it started. And so I think it's just more of the same. We just have to be very nimble and be thoughtful about what our current resident population wants, what the resident population that's coming in wants, the adult child. Cater to all of those sometimes competing forces. It's an interesting time, yeah. Within, I know you mentioned active adult.
Mm-hmm.
I'd throw back to you. And what does active adult mean to you? Because there's a lot of definitions out there.
Yes, there are. And that also with independent living. You know, I even see,
sure,
like, even within independent living, I see some people calling what looks like an active adult product, they call that independent living, or vice versa. And so, yeah, I think now, me and Lucas were talking about this earlier, when somebody even says I'm in senior living, I'm like, please define that. What do you mean by that?
Totally, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, it's active adult for me. It's like, you talk to five different people and you'll get five different definitions. And some of it looks like independent living to me. Some of it doesn't. I think the biggest, obviously, difference is the food.
Well, so I've got a question. So I love your constantly improving, like, what can we do better? Our industry needs more of that. The constant is change, right? And that's kind of that way in life. But I think in general, our industry has responded really well to all the curveballs that we've been,
sure,
sent over the last few years. There's not that many, like, true integrated development, ownership, management groups that do all that in-house. And I personally think one of the reasons why sometimes there's these conflicting interests, you know, you put on your developer hat and something, a decision sounds good, and then you put on your operator hat and that conflicts. So have y'all created a leadership team that kind of balances all those unique hats,
sure,
that you have to wear to be able to turn out and make the development win, make the management win for the teams, win for the residents? It's a complex equation, and there has to be some balance there that keeps it all in check. How do y'all do that from a corporate culture?
Well, because we're all in one company, and we all sit on the same floor, our meetings, we have the development team and the operations team together. We don't really think of ourselves or describe ourselves as, oh, you're on the development team, you're on the operations team. But the key is we all want to provide a great product and serve our residents, and that success will make us all successful. And we're all happy about it, right? It's not, oh, well, the development team, they built the building and now it's, here you go. Success for them. No, they want to see it through. And by having them also part of the operations with the capital improvement, maintaining the building, we're all aligned and in it together. It also comes down to personalities, right? You have to hire the right folks, and great folks that will make a team that want to work together. If you create that team environment, a lot of the stuff falls in line in and of itself. There's a lot of folks that will talk about, oh, you got to do this, that, and the other, but it does come down to the people, honestly, right? Right? And the personalities, and making sure that everybody feels like they're one, rowing in the right direction, all the same direction.
I think it's
easier said than done, though.
No,
honestly.
No. Well, that's why I was saying it sounds so simple, and honestly, it should be common sense, but I think to deliver on that,
yeah,
is much more challenging. So, you know, I've got to give kudos to you guys, because you've been doing that for a long time. And as Lucas said, I don't think I've had the opportunity to be in your communities, but Lucas has been in a lot of them and had the opportunity to partner with you guys in various aspects. And, you know, he raves about them. So that process of tearing down the silos, not having multiple teams, but a team that all centered around a central mission, that's kind of what I'm summarizing what you've said,
yeah,
but that is a lot easier.
Yeah.
To say than to do, for sure.
Well, I'm very lucky in that I have our development partner, Mike Longfellow, who runs the whole development team, is a close friend, and he's very good at what he does, and he cares deeply about how the buildings are used. And so he makes it extremely, extremely easy to partner and push our agenda forward. Without him, if it was a different person in the seat, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, he makes it extremely easy to make it one effort.
Sure. So I'm sure you get asked this a ton, but growth goals for you guys, no shortage of opportunities for great seasoned developer owner operators out there. So where do you see you guys putting your energy over the coming years in 2024? What's your focus?
Finding the right deals that make sense, whether it be, you know, there's some properties that are probably functioning obsolescent. There's some that are great, but they just need maybe a different operator that has a different focus. So really it's looking at the right opportunities to continue to grow, and where we can add to our portfolio. With the environment constantly changing and with interest rates where they are, it makes it even trickier. We're always in the market looking for the right opportunity that makes sense.
Yeah.
Potentially partnering with some other folks too, to use their knowledge and our knowledge to continue to push the business forward. From a senior housing perspective, if we all do well, it helps the entire industry. So if there's a poor operator out there, I think it hurts everybody, because we are still trying to educate the public as to what we are.
That's a great point, because we've talked about that some, but the penetration rate of age income qualified people for senior living, however we want to define that, is a huge number of unreached folks. And so if we are helping each other out and we can help change public perception, educate people, that immediately fills
You add one percentage point of penetration, it's a crazy number.
Yeah, never. Crazy. Yeah, we couldn't keep up. You know, we could build as many communities as we wanted if we do, as you said, even a 1% difference job. So that's a huge opportunity.
Yeah. And I know everybody here really cares about their residents and operating the business properly, taking it very seriously, right? Because we are caring for somebody's loved one. I mean, that ultimately is what we're doing. But, you know, there's some folks that maybe get in for the wrong reasons. And we just want to make sure that we're all, you know, sharing best practices to be able to care for these residents best we possibly can, because it does help us all. And there's great outcomes across the board.
Yeah. Well, it's encouraging to hear you say that. And, you know, Lucas, we hear that a lot. Lucas and I, there's probably no bigger fans of the senior living industry. We work in the industry.
Yeah, you guys created a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. And, but, you know, here at ASHA, everybody seems very aligned with the same mission. And so we appreciate
that's great.
ASHA allowing us to be here, put on this great event, and to attract thought leaders like yourself who are out there on the front lines, leading the teams, developing the communities, acquiring, positioning our industry.
It's really fun.
Yeah, it really is. It's amazing to hear us be able to actually be able to sit down with you. Lucas has been wanting to have you on the podcast for a long time, so appreciate your time.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate inviting me, and hope we can do it again soon.
Absolutely.
That'd be great. And to all of our listeners that want to connect with Spectrum, we'll put that in the show notes. You can go to btgvoice.com, download this content, so much more. Connect with us on social. We'd love for you to be a part of the conversation. LinkedIn's a great place to do that. And thanks for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap.
Thanks for listening to Bridge the Gap podcast with Josh and Lucas. Connect with the BTG Network team and use your voice to influence the industry by connecting with us at btgvoice.com.